reading from Genesis. When Abram prostrated himself, God spoke to him. My covenant with you is this. You are to become the father of a host of nations. No longer shall you be called Abram. Your name shall be Abraham. For I am making you the father of a host of nations. I will render you exceedingly fertile. I will make nations of you. Kings shall stem from you. I will maintain my covenant with you and your descendants after you throughout the ages as an everlasting pact to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land in which you are now staying, the whole land of Canaan as a permanent possession, and I will be their God. God also said to Abraham, on your part, you and your descendants after you must keep my covenant throughout the ages. The word of the Lord. Today, where I live in California, particularly San Francisco, it is the Feast of St. Patrick. St. Patrick is the principal patron of San Francisco's archdiocese, and consequently there are proper liturgies and proper readings. However, I think I'll use the readings of the day. I believe that they have a particular place because of the Lenten season, and I'll just refer to the kind of patrician element. Because my name is Patrick, it's hard to pass it by without saying something. This reading from Genesis uses a word that I find troubling in lots of ways, and I'm not quite sure why. But covenant, though it's a religious word in many occasions, in fact, in most occasions, it's not clear what that means in our regular parlance. We don't use covenant very often. It's used in some legal and official papers and so forth. But for the most part, we don't use that word. We'll use something else like agreement or contract or other kinds of words that are more intelligible or at least more familiar to us. Covenant is a powerful word, partly because it is a bit mysterious and a bit confusing. But this is an amazing conversation that goes on in this last few days in the scriptures, and then, of course, coming to this covenant discussion in today's readings. God is setting out a set of plans and promising people that if they're willing to enter into this covenant, this agreement, that there will be mostly give on God's part and mostly take on our part. God is giving us, in a sense, much more than we're returning. When Moses goes and steps before God and says, these people are, in a sense, driving me crazy. They're whining all the time. They're not happy with things. They're complaining about virtually everything. And somehow I need your help in order to bring this to an end. And so God enters into this unbelievable conversation with Moses, and then talking on about Abram and Abraham. One of the things that we are preoccupied with, and I'm speaking now, I guess, more for American society maybe than other places, is credentials. We don't want to deal with someone who doesn't have proper credentials. And we ask for that credentialing every time we say something or do something. And it's a business card, or it's a reference in some kind of a directory. It's a title on the door, and so forth. It's something that tells us this person is worth listening to. God comes across, in a sense, without any reference to those credentials, other than to say, I want to be your God. I want to be, in a sense, the source of power, the source of identity, the source of ownership, in a sense, with you. and I'm going to make sure that I live my part of this agreement, this compromise, this contract or covenant. He tells Abram, you will no longer be called Abram, but rather Abraham, and I will give you incredible responsibility and power. You are to be the father of nations. You're going to have this new name. You're going to be, in a sense, in a position of incredible influence and power. I give you a new kind of credential, and their credential is symbolized by this name change. It's got a deep religious meaning, but it also has a practical meaning. He's telling him how to talk to the people so they'll listen to you, how to let them realize that what you have to say is worthwhile. Why? Because I, God, have given you this information, and now I'm passing it on. God comes across and says, I will tell you who you are. I will tell you your heritage. I will give you your destiny. I will give you a place to live and to call your own, and I will be faithful to that promise, that covenant, for all time. What I ask of you is that you believe in me, that you believe that I am. Difficult, difficult situation, yet that's what God asks. You believe that I am. You believe that there's this incredible divinity that you don't fully understand, but I'm going to share with you in a special way, and I'm going to bring you into my life, into my power, into my presence. We know very well that as we move from the Hebrew to the Christian scriptures, we move into this unbelievable power of being God's permanent guest at the table of the Eucharist, the great presence of that living God in our midst. No presence could be more clear, could be more powerful or more effective. And God says, I'll take care of all those needs. But it's important for you to live according to my law, according to my teaching, and the teaching will be passed on to you by your leaders. I will choose those leaders, and I will give them this job description, in a sense, to again use current parlance. So this credentialed entity, whom we call God, is going to give the credentials and the job description to the people who call the Creator their God. And he says that if you listen to me, if you believe what I say to you, if you keep your eyes and your ears open to realize how I'm going to enter again and again into your history, how I'm going to give you the things you need in order to be happy, in order to be effective, in order to be my permanent guests, then you need to believe in me. You need to believe that I am the one whom you love. I am the one in whom you place your faith. The message is given, and we know the story as it goes on, that they've already had one skirmish and built a cow, a sacred symbol, to take care of things, and God pushes that aside, says, I understand that, it's not necessary, I'll give you something else to be in your presence and to let you know that I'm there. And so he designs the pillar, Moses designs the pillar, and according to God's word. Now Abraham comes and is telling them, I promise you the presence of God for all time. God will always be there. The Creator will always be there. The Divine One will be always there in one form or another. We know again as we move into our Christian scriptures that God does come to us through Jesus Christ and makes presence known, makes the divine presence known by celebrating with us day after day after day the Eucharist. There is no better way to be close to God than to be close to the Eucharist. There's no better way to affirm our relationship, our part of the covenant to God, than to believe in the presence of the Son, Jesus Christ, in the Eucharist. And so all of these fairly complicated ideas are being brought into our brought to our attention in this conversation that occurs between God and Abraham. Every one of us has access to the terms of this covenant. Every one of us has been invited into the covenant in Christianity through our baptism. We know that we've been called together, we've been instructed, we've been led, we've been challenged, now we have been commissioned and sent, strengthened by the Eucharist, by the presence of God through Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. We've been sent to go out and to preach the good news. The God's power with us is telling us, don't whine about these little things. It's not necessary. Rather, what I'd have you do is see beyond the inconvenience you may feel you're experiencing. See beyond that, stop the whining, and see what I've really done for you in the terms of this covenant. I promise to be your partner on this journey for all time. I promise to give you access to my table for all time. I promise to be the strength in your life through the Son Jesus for all time. What I ask you to do is believe and live according to that faith. When we receive the book of the scriptures, if one is ordained to the diaconate, and the bishop says, receive the good news, believe what you read, preach what you believe, live what you preach. Incredible summary of what we're asked to do. And every one of us, in a sense, receives that kind of commission. As we accept the terms of the covenant, this is what God gives us back. Here's the truth. Here's what it means. Here's how you should live it. Here's what you should do with your lives. You need to do these things, and you will be keeping the covenant. And I promise that no matter where you look for me, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter when it is, I will be there, for I am. You simply say, yes, Lord, I believe.